This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Our guest is the 23rd Poet Laureate of the United States, Joy Harjo. She's one of the most significant women in the history of poetry. So congratulations, and the audience would love to hear your voice with an opening poem.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. And I guess for the opening poem, I'll start with a love poem. And as I was coming up and learning poetry, I was always cautioned that, you know, love poems, that's not real poetry, and it's hard to write a really good love poem and so on. And so I will take a risk here and read a love poem called Dawning. And even the birds were still sleeping when I touched ground. I went around the house opening windows, then the plants, made my tea, wrote until breaking of morning. I went back up the stairs to see if you were waking. Ever so quiet, the smoky light covered the hills, no one making the rounds yet to pick up trash or edge the grass. You were dreaming when I cradled your head. Your mother's loving, tenderly in place, though she's been gone for many years, and you graying, though ever handsome, in my arms. I tiptoe back to the breaking of light and let you sleep, my king, my everything.
That's beautiful. Joy Harjo, she's our new Poet Laureate. What did you do? What happened when you found out you were a Poet Laureate? Did someone call you on the phone? What happened?
Yes, actually, Rob Casper tricked me. He'd sent me an email and said, I have a quick question for you. Can you call? Which of these times works for you? And so I told him. And the body's wise, it knows. When he said that, this electricity went through, and I thought, well, it's probably, you know, it's the National Book Festival. I've been there, and, you know, I've got a book coming out and all of that. So then I called at the designated time, and he comes on. He says, wait a minute, we have a conference. We're all here. And I thought, we're all here? And then he said, here, speak with, you know, Carla Hayden, the head librarian of the Library of Congress. And then she said, we want you to be the 23rd U.S. Poet Laureate. And I was hit. It was like being struck by lightning.
Totally surprised?
Yes, it was a total surprise. I had no idea.
A good surprise. We are so happy. You know, they're lined up around the block for your opening tomorrow. The tickets were out. The seats are gone. What do you think people want from you?
I think this particular poet laureateship, I'm stepping into a certain time and place that's really about the people, and it's about what people want or wanting and needing in these times, which has to do really with, I think, a native voice for one, because it was told, I used to sit in these circles long ago, and they said, eventually they're going to come back to us, because this is, you know, the root of what is America is these lands, is our, you know, we're part of this story.
Oh, what a thing.
So eventually, and so, you know, that's part of it. And it's in these times we need poetry. We go to poetry. We always, all human beings always go to poetry.
And they're coming for your poetry.
They're coming, yes, for poetry. Yeah.
Joy is a Native American born in Tulsa. She's internationally known and an award-winning poet, writer, performer, saxophone player of the Muscogee Creek Nation. And we would love another poem.
Okay, let's see. I'll read this one, A Refuge in the Smallest of Places. For Emily Dickinson, who knew about small places and how large things can be found there, and for all those fleeing on those ancient migration trails north for home. Someone sang for me, and no one else could hear it. When I had given up and made knife marks on my arm or drank and gave myself away or was given, someone sang for me, and no one else could hear it. When demons came with rope and cages to take my children from me and imprison us, someone sang for me, and no one else could hear it. Now I am here in this tireless room of lost poetry, gathering up the destroyed and forgotten, because of the song someone sang that no one else could hear but me.
Joy Harjo, nobody reads like you do either. I've always wanted to know more about your teaching. Mm-hmm. I know the last place was Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Northeastern. And you taught a class, The Excellence of Creative Writing. So was that like a super class of creative writing, the very best of the best?
No, what I taught there, I was chair of excellence at University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
That was where the title came from.
Yes.
What did you do when you walked into the classroom? How did you get them to know that vulnerability and strength are the same thing? Because that's your gift to the world, that vulnerability is strength. How did you impart that to the students? Just by being you?
There's a long story about getting to that place. Just by poetry. I think poetry gives us that. And reading poetry of poets from all over the world and reading and writing and so on. But to get to that place and teaching took me years. I have not taught consistently. What would happen with me through the years, I would have a really good teaching job, teaching creative writing, and then I would get to a point where I wasn't getting time for my work, so I would resign mm-hmm. and do freelance and for some time. And then I was lucky, and then somebody would say, "We would like to hire you here." And I would work for a while,
yeah.
And you know, I have good references, but I would leave. But there was a point in my teaching where I realized I wasn't teaching like me. I was burdened with how I thought I was supposed to teach.
Oh, I love that you said that.
In an academic setting. And I had a student at UCLA who came in with her friend, and she said to introduce, her friend wanted to meet me, and she said to her friend, "I wish you would teach the way she writes poetry." And it was difficult to hear that because I knew that I had been overwhelmed by what I thought I was supposed to be doing, which was not me. I had to come at it in my own way, which the best poets, artists, people who fix cars, you know, any of it. We have to be who we are.
That's it, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we fall into the trap of convention, and then we realize the only thing we have to give is what's inimitable, what we have. And so I think just coming to that, if we could teach teachers that the first day,
mm-hmm.
but artists more than ever. So Joy Harjo is with us. She has won so many awards, we would be here late. So I'll just read some of them. The Ruth Lilly Prize from the Poetry Foundation for Lifetime Achievement. The 2015 Wallace Stevens Award from the Academy of American Poets for Proven Mastery in the Art of Poetry. A Guggenheim Fellowship. The William Carlos Williams Award from the Poetry Society of America. And the United States Artist Fellowship. She was inducted into the Oklahoma Writers Hall of Fame, and today she is ours. We're at the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and Joy is going to read another poem.
This one is called Let There Be No Regrets, and this was written for Bears Ears National Monument, which at this moment is being parceled out for development, quote unquote. And it opens with a quote by Wayne Menagig Valier. And he said, I heard him say this, it was, "We're not losing the birch trees are losing us." The songs and stories that formed us are restless and need a place to live in the world of our grandchildren. They are weary with waiting. Earth continues to dream her earth dreams, though desperate thoughts fed by money hunger roam our minds. To the destroyers, earth is not a person. They will want more until there is no more to steal. Earth, who does not know time, is patient. The destroyers will destroy themselves. So many earth spirits take care of this place. They emerge from the cliff walls. They emerge from the waves of waters. Our ancestors are not only human ancestors. What do you see when you fly to the top of the ancestor tree?
Mm.
Let there be no regrets, no sadness, no anger, no acts of disturbance to these lands.
What do you see when you fly to the top of the ancestor tree? Poetry is healing. You are said to be a healer. What does that mean?
I've come to the conclusion that when we come into this world, we come here, every person who takes breath comes in to be healed, that every person's journey is in essence a healing journey. So that means that everyone is, you know, in some state of healing. And we all help each other in small and large ways.
Do you think everyone knows that, though? Poets know it.
I think poets do. We don't always call it that. I mean, we're pursuing our, you know, there's the level, we're pursuing our art, we're pursuing language, we're pursuing the place without words, with words.
There's where you live.
Yes,
it
is.
There's where you live. No one excels you in bringing forth the living and the dead, actually, emotionally, and poetically. And you have what you have, which is so unusual and so rare and so precious, is that you really are connected with the spirit world. And you can get into your nighttime mind and connect, take away that veil between here and there. And your poetry's full of it. People actually show up. And that is, I think, going to heal the world.
I think it's true for everyone, though. We are always, if you think about it, we're just as much in the world of the intangible, because so many of us, we're running our memories. Things come to us, dreams. We get, you know, in any field of endeavor.
But you say it. You say it. You tell it. You teach it. And it's not okay just to know it, but to spread the word, to say, wait a minute. We are part of infinity. We're just the little edge of it. And that's in all of your work. And I think that is one of the reasons you're Poet Laureate of the United States, because this is a message that needed to be said and couldn't have maybe been said before.
I think there are, you know, poets innately. We play in that field.
That's our sandbox.
Yeah.
And Joy Harjo is with us. We're at the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. I am thrilled to pieces. I've been reading you since 1975.
Really?
Yeah, when I was teaching at Antioch College and you had a little teeny pamphlet out.
Yeah, I had that. That's when it came out. It was the last song.
And I was teaching women poets and there were not that many printed, I'll tell you. I had a book in 1970 of voices in poetry, and there were 400 pages, and there were like five women poets in there.
Yeah, the first anthology of Native poetry, contemporary Native poetry, there were no women in it at all, and that came out in the early 70s.
But here we are.
Yes.
Joe Harjo, another poem, please.
The story will. I leave you to your ceremony of grieving, which is also of celebration. Given when an honored, humbled one leaves behind a trail of happiness in the dark of human tribulation. None of us is above the other in this story of forever, though we follow that red road home one behind another. There is a light breaking through the storm, and it is buffalo hunting weather. There you can see your mother. She is busy as she was ever. She holds up a new jingle dress for her youngest beloved daughter, and for her special son, a set of finely beaded gear. All for that welcome home dance, the most favorite of all, when everyone finds their way back together to dance, eat, and celebrate, and tell story after story of how they fought and played in the story wheel, and how no one was ever really lost at all.
Joy Harjo has written 9 books of poetry. Her newest is An American Sunrise, and she's reading from that today. Another conflict resolution for holy beings, How We Became Human, new and selected poems. And she had some horses. She also wrote Crazy Brave, her memoir that won many awards, including the Penn Award and the USA Literary Award for Creative Nonfiction and the American Book Award. What do you do with all these awards? Put them in your underwear drawer?
Yeah.
And they're just nice for the minute, right?
No, I appreciate, I appreciate them. And what the list of failures is much longer.
I like that very much.
Yes, no, people, I always remind young people who get dismayed because things aren't coming. I mean, I've been doing this 50 years now. I realize it's been 50 years I've been writing. And for most of those years, there's been no recognition. She Had Some Horses, which is now considered a classic, got no attention.
It is a classic.
Yeah, it was not. Yeah. And it's only until very recently, actually, that...
But everybody knows the table poem, and everybody
yes,
knows...
Yes, that's true.
We all know those yes. poems. But I read your memoir, And there were tough times in the beginning. Your mother had to side with your stepfather. There was some betrayal, some rejection. But at the end of it, I came out feeling she has brought the family together and transformed it from kind of breakage in the beginning, and that is what's sacrosanct with you, the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you make. You transform something into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in all of your work. Talk about
that's
the
true.
Family a bit.
Well, you're right. People will often ask you, what's your poetry about? And what do you answer? I always say it's about transformation. But I had really good materials to work with. We all did in the family. There was breakage. It's breakage that came down through, you know, the ancestral line. It's not really a line. It's a field. And when you get to a certain age, you start seeing it. And you see that everyone is still alive. It's a living being. And so what we say and do affects everybody backwards. Forwards, of course. We know that with the children and grandchildren, but also backwards and sideways. So, yes, I came up with, you know, it's historical trauma. There's a lot of historical trauma in my family from Muscogee Creek Nation and on my mom's side, the Cherokee side, and the Irish in there. I recognize those ancestors, too. But there is always love, and that's the transforming ingredient. That's the elixir, so to speak. It's more than that. It's a force of being that ultimately, I believe that that's what survives ultimately. And all of these stories, and they're all stories we come here to heal. Well, what healing can be really difficult and even ugly and rough to go through what you need to know to become yourself. You know, that's
just,
stories.
I want that line, just a big line like that. What you need to know to become yourself. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know, really. And so in this book, An American Sunrise, I really like your poem about washing your mother. It's too long for us to read. Mm-hmm. But it is about rectifying things.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the final touch, the washing, the touching. And then you go back. It brings us into memory. I want everyone to remember the title of the book, An American Sunrise, and go right to that poem. Is it called How I Washed My Mother?
Washing My Mother's Body. And I came to that because I didn't get to.
That's right.
And I realized I was in the middle of totally something else, and the poem came. It's like the poem told me, well, if you can't wash your mother's body in person, you can wash your mother's body now. So I went back in time in the poem, because in poetry you can do that.
And that was transformation. Yep, that's it. And so you changed the narrative, really, and if you were not able to do it in reality, you did it even more real than ever, because this will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Washing your mother would have been a moment in time, but this is going to be something we read and made permanent forever, which is really kind of magic, isn't it?
Well, this whole process of being, you know, whether you're in, you know, a creator in art or children or poetry, it is a kind of magic.
And then when you combine magic with social justice,
uh-huh.
That's High Holiday, and that's what you do. You do how you get politics and love and progress and make a big, wonderful salad out of that, and it all works. Because you know why? It's you. That's why it works, right?
Well, it's me, but it's what is me or what is I? It's we. You know, it's ultimately we. As you know, from the beginning, there's always been these ancestors, you know, speaking. You know, they're there. Are they? Everyone comes in. I've got to be at the birth of several of my grandchildren, and there's always somebody, an ancestor who comes in. Who comes in with everyone.
Visually, I have seen also the dead.
Uh-huh.
And everyone can.
Yes.
They just have to open up that last neuron in the brain that is about belief.
Yes, they feel them, they know, they dream. Everyone does. It's part of our toolbox,
isn't
really.
Isn't it amazing how people do deny their nighttime mind and pretend that that is something, oh, that was just an irregularity
mm-hmm.
when I went to sleep and all those things. They just dismiss them as not the most important part of their being.
Yeah, it's about half their life.
Half their life.
Half of all of our
lives. Let's have another poem. Joy Harjo is also, she didn't bring her saxophone, but she's a renowned musician, and she has a band, the Aerodynamics. She's won 5 award-winning CDs of music, including Red Dreams, A Trail Beyond Tears, and Winding Through the Milky Way, and that won the Native American Music Award for Best Female Artist of the Year. Let's have a poem.
Okay, this one is called Memory Sack. It's a short one. That first cry opens the earth door. We join the ancestor road with our pack of memories slung slack on our backs. We venture into the circle of destruction, which is the circle of creation, and make more.
Another poem I like, and I probably can't pronounce it, I would say Zahotosakis.
Let me see.
Two Women Sing.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
That's a good one, because it says so much about your indomitable ability to go on.
Well, it's not just mine. This is a traditional song that came on the Trail of Tears.
And how do you say that word?
Zahotosakis.
Would you read it?
Well, the thing is, I'd have to sing it.
Oh, I think we can handle that.
It said that two beloved women sang this song as their band came over on the Trail of Tears. One woman walked near the front of the people, and the other walked near the back with the small children. When anyone faltered, they would sing this song to hold them up. Chihoto Chazari China, oh, 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 flakari, momais, holwin, awachkin, obey, yakathlis, holwin. Do not get tired. Don't be discouraged. Be determined. Come together. Together, let's go toward the highest place.
That went right to the center. Would you do that tomorrow night?
I probably will as part of something. Yes, it's in, yes.
Do you know what you're going to do yet? I mean, is it still a fluid idea? Because you will sing, won't you? You're
yes.
having music.
Yes,
right.
I will have a band there. Actually, I'm going to be playing with Larry Mitchell and Robert Muller and Howard Cloud. I've played with them often, so I'm
often.
Excited they're coming to perform, and yes, I'll be singing.
This is a night to remember. Joy Harjo is our guest, and I often think of all the things you do, and one of them is playwriting, and that is so different, an art form, because the poem is about feeling and ideas, sensuality, but the play is really hardcore about people talking.
Mm-hmm.
What is your process there?
Well, there's one that was just published right before An American Sunrise called Wings of Night Sky, Wings of Morning Light. A play by Joy Harjo with a circle of responses, and that was published by Wesleyan in March. And so that was different. It was a one-woman show, but still the character Redbird would speak with the spirit helper, who was there but unseen. and then Larry Mitchell was I called him the guardian spirit. He played guitar because I would play and sing through the play.
So you performed it?
Yes, I performed it.
Can it be performed by anyone else?
I suppose it could be. It would be different, but mm-hmm. it could be. And then I'm working on another play called We Were There When Jazz Was Invented, which has several characters.
You had one about two people in a hotel room that committed suicide?
No,
what was that
play, I put out a call, and that's one I want to get to, and that's another play. It was going to be, what was the title? But it's about a family, students, they're grown from Indian school, who were friends at Indian school, come together because one of their friends has committed suicide.
And that's a play you're going to write?
Yes, that's another one once I get this one finished. I'm in the middle of, I plan to have the book of this. It's a musical play, not a strict traditional, Western musical.
Oh, I see.
And so I'm in the middle of working on that, and I'll start working on the music, and then I want to do that other play.
I find you to be highly disciplined, so I'm wondering if you work in segments, like you say, you wake up in the morning, you say, today I'm going to do this play, and you don't get your mind cluttered with trying to do poetry. So you are very pristine about your schedule?
No, because my schedule is, even before the Poet Laureateship, which I've been doing, there are a lot of demands with this. I was busy then.
I know. So. Just check out YouTube, Joy Harjo. We are just so very proud and thrilled that you represent our country, and I know it's going to make us change to the good, and just by your being, demonstrating how we can be ourselves. Is there anything to fear in life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there always, but again, it's what you do with it. It's what there was one of my earliest poems was the poem To Get Rid of Fear, and it came because I needed it. It was given to me because I needed it to live.
May we have a final poem?
This is called An American Sunrise. And based on a golden shovel form invented by Terence Hayes. And the last word of each line is from Gwendolyn Brooks' poem, We Real Cool. We were running out of breath. As we ran to meet ourselves, we were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget. We made plans to be professional and did, and some of us could sing when we drove to the edge of the mountains with a drum. We made sense of our beautiful, crazed lives under the starry stars. Sin was invented by the Christians, we sang. We were the heathens but needed to be saved from them. Thin chance. We knew we were all related in this story. A little gin will clarify the dark and make us all feel like dancing. We had something to do with the origins of blues and jazz. I argued with the music as I filled the jukebox with dimes in June. 40 years later, and we still want justice. We are still America. We.
The voice of Joy Harjo, 23rd Poet Laureate of the United States of America. Her new book is An American Sunrise. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation with support from the Sinipet Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.